Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is August 13th, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hearing the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, call the cell phone and let Dan know that, or text him and let him know you're calling at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find updates in the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church, the radio program archives, and all of our contact information is at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener bases in worldwide places like Auckland, New Zealand, Madrid, Spain,
Helsinki,
Finland, and places in the USA is in San Antonio, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, and Kansas City, Missouri, and San Jose remains the number one listener that listens to the podcast when it posts on the podcast later tonight.
You're going to make me reword that, aren't you? Anyway, but yeah, okay, folks out there in San Jose, but, you know, I was born in that city, so.
Yeah.
And again,
Think that had something to do with it?
No, not at all. But let's do say this, though, that a lot of these cities, there may be littler suburbs or things around it. You know, example, Fresno never shows up on a thing, but that's because the cable company is actually based in San Jose.
Right.
So it shows you where the cable company is that they use that's based. So a lot of you folks out there in the suburbs, we may not be out hitting you. That does not mean that we can't, that we don't know that you're listening. So we ask you to send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or a text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let us know what city you're from, and if we haven't mentioned your city, we will get it mentioned, and you can also tell us how you listen to us if you want to. We will not use your text or email to solicit donations. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray, I really lift up and pray for this nation and for our president. Father, I just pray for the body of Messiah to wake up and start speaking the truth. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, before we get into the program, we're going to have a song as normal. And remember, folks, if you want, you got a song that you wrote, send it to me. Now, music.
Pruning for the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. Sometimes the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. Hidden time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does, it makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He doesn't cause, He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us in. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful. Must be thankful. We've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Well, we're back. That was a song by Brother Ben McKnight out of Texas. That was written and recorded in the 90s, back when Bill Clinton was president. Anyway, moving right along. I seem to sometimes get not really trapped on Facebook, but there is a, I use it mainly not for family purposes, you know, as you know, of course, I use it for the ministry. It was Tom Mack, I think it was, that told me I need to get a Facebook page a long time ago when I didn't want to have anything to do with it so people could find me on the ministry easier. Anyway, so that's what it is a ministry page. I treat it like a news page. But, you know, one thing that really just has drove me crazy since we started the whole corona thing is I'm so sick of hearing about the chip being the mark of the beast. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you've seen some of what's going on over there. And one of the craziest parts about it is they don't even read in the book of Revelation, like we pointed out here, that it is actually, if it was going to be a chip, it would still have to be an act of worship first before you do it. It wouldn't be something from a drug company and
they
all that.
They have before, so it has to be a choice.
It has to be a choice. But beyond that, the thing that you find out from that people read actually very little of the Bible, or they completely don't comprehend it about it, but I'm just talking about the New Testament. But so when most people, I found, want to know about the Antichrist, they read just, you know, a little bit out of Revelation, that's about all they know. They don't realize that it's spread out all over the Bible because they neglect to read the Old Testament, okay? Today, we've had Joel Richardson on here many, many times. Most people know that Joel Richardson wrote the book, The Islamic Antichrist and the Mideast Beast. Well, I'm going to go through some of the things that Joel pointed out about the Antichrist. I'm on the same page as he is about a thing called the Muslim Mahdi. That's their savior, so to speak. And anyway... So I've got a list here about what Islam and what the Bible says about the Antichrist and what Islam says about the Mahdi. And you folks decide for yourself if they parallel each other. So let's just go ahead and get started, and we'll start right here.
Okay. The Bible says that the Antichrist is an unparalleled political, military, and religious leader that will emerge in the last days.
Okay, Islam says Mahdi is an unparalleled political, military, and religious leader that will emerge in the last days. That was the exact same thing.
Right.
Okay. So one's about the Antichrist. The Bible, that's what the Bible says, folks. My wife's reading what the Bible says about the Antichrist, and I'm going to be reading about what Islam thinks about their Savior, the Mahdi.
Okay, the Bible says the false prophet is a secondary prominent figure that will emerge in the last days who will support the Antichrist.
Islam says the Muslim Jesus is a secondary prominent figure that will emerge in the last days to support the Mahdi. And we have later in the program, I have some things, if we can make it through this list, I have another list that tells you what they think about Jesus. Okay, so that's tit for tat. Okay.
And then the Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet together will have a powerful army that will do great damage to the earth in the effort to subdue every nation and dominate the world.
Okay, Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will have a powerful army that will attempt to control every nation of the earth and dominate the world. And I do say attempt because if you really read your Bible and get out of the book of Revelation, you'll find out that actually there are nations that are fighting against the Antichrist, and he really doesn't dominate the whole world. Okay, right along.
The false prophet is described essentially as a dragon in lamb's clothing.
The Muslim Jesus literally comes bearing the name of the one that the world knows as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Yet the Muslim Jesus comes to murder all those who do not submit to Islam. So while they come bearing Christ's name, it is just like that. It's a dragon in lamb's clothing or a devil in lamb's clothing, tit for tat.
Okay, the Antichrist and the false prophet established a new world order.
Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus establish a new world order. And so you have, look, that's Antichrist and false prophet. Moving right along.
The Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet institute new laws for the whole world, or the whole earth.
Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus institute Islamic law over all the earth. And folks, you should look up the word all doesn't always mean all in the Bible. A lot of times it just means known territory or like I might say, well, all the world, but it's all the known world to me. But let's move on.
Okay, the Bible says the Antichrist is said to change the times.
Islam says it's quite certain that if the Mahdi established Islam all over the earth, he would discontinue the use of Saturday and Sunday as the weekday, as the weekend or days of rest, but also rather Friday as the holy day of Islam. Also, he most certainly eliminate the Gregorian calendar, A.D., and replace it with the Islamic calendar, A.H., that's used in every Islamic country.
Oh, wow. Okay, the Antichrist and the false prophet will both be powerful religious leaders who will attempt to institute a universal world religion.
Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will institute Islam as the only religion in the earth. Same thing.
The Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet will execute anyone who does not submit to their world religion.
Islam likewise says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will execute anyone who does not submit to Islam. And for the record, they're already doing it.
Right.
They did that, what ISIS did. And there's another thing that really drives me crazy. If you just, folks, just simply look, we get this in the West all the time, and I get it even from radio speakers. They talk about, well, the tribulation ain't here yet, and we're looking out for the persecution of the Christians to come. Wait a minute, folks. You know, I think it was like every 5 minutes last year in 2019, a Christian died for their faith. There's more Christians that are dying right now than even in the first century. Wake up. It's not just about you, Western world. It's about Christians all over the world, but predominantly it would be more about the Christians in the Middle East and over there, because that's where Christianity started. These are the people that founded Christianity, is over in those countries. But yet, you in the Western world think that everything revolves around you. And also, let's go with this. Y'all just keep saying, oh, we're flying out before the trouble hits. Really? Well, say that to all those dead martyrs that are dying every day, and the churches that are being, where they're being burned alive, in there and so on and so forth, or all the Christians that put their heads down and got their heads chopped off by ISIS. Say it to them that they're going to be flying out. That's the pre-trib rapture is not even in the Bible. Go ahead.
Okay, the Antichrist and the false prophet will specifically use beheading as the primary means of execution for nonconformists.
Okay, Islam, the Mahdi and the Mother of Jesus will use the Islamic practice of beheading for executions. Let's go with this, just what I just said. They're already used that form of execution.
And the Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet will have a specific agenda to kill as many Jews as possible.
Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will kill as many Jews as possible until only a few are left hiding behind rocks and trees. And that's in their Quran or whatever.
Huh.
Yeah, it helps. So, you know, what do you think about this list so far? It's just tit for tat, isn't it?
Just like the devil always copies everything, tries to do everything that the Lord does. He tries to deceive, you know, make people deceive and believe his lies over what the Lord wants you to know. It's the same thing.
The parallel is so crazy. It's just hard to deny that there's some kind of a coincidence like this. You know. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the Antichrist and the false prophet will attack and to conquer and seize Jerusalem.
Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will attack to reconquer and seize Jerusalem for Islam. That's in the Bible. A lot of people don't get it. Jerusalem will be seized. Once again, Yeshua comes back to liberate Jerusalem. I love Israel, but what's coming is what's coming.
The Antichrist will set himself up in the Jewish temple as his seat of authority.
Oh, boy. Islam says the Mahdi will establish the Islamic caliphate from Jerusalem. Now, again, this is so uncanny. Are you waking up yet, folks? I bet you our brothers and sisters overseas that listen to this radio program will understand it better than you Western Christianity. That is waiting. They're waiting for a science fiction type Antichrist to come around, you know, and while they're waiting on this guy to come around and put a biochip in him and all this stuff, you know what's going to happen? All of the prophecy is speeding forward right on their watch. And for the record, President Trump signed an accord today with the United Arab Emirates, which is a really big deal in Israel, and they delayed annexing the part of the West Bank. So no land is, while I believe that it wasn't really constituted as land giveaway, those that have been saying that there was going to be a land giveaway because of the annexation, that ceased and is out of the picture at least any time in the near future. So you folks that said America is being punished for giving land away, guess what? You're wrong. Okay. Second, let's say this, well, I'll just add that a little later in the program. Okay, let's move on.
The false prophet is said to do many miracles and deceive as many as possible into supporting the Antichrist.
Islam says the Mahdi himself is said to control the weather and the crops. His face is said to glow. We can also assume that since Jesus is being viewed as having been empowered by Allah to work miracles when he was here on earth the first time, he will most likely be expected to continue to do so when he returns.
The Antichrist is described as riding a white horse in the book of Revelation.
Islam, the Mahdi is described as riding on a white horse, ironically, from the same verse. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, first off, the Muslim religion, whatever, that came after the Bible. And they believe in parts of the Bible. They just pick and choose what they, you know, they twist it around. And that's really funny that they even will point from the book of Revelation. But, yeah, they do. They point to that verse and say, that's their guy. That's their guy. Well, if it's their guy, that's the Antichrist. Pretty clear.
Okay, the Antichrist is said to make a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years.
Islam says the Mahdi is ready to make a peace treaty through a Jew, specifically a Levite, for exactly 7 years. You know, this is tit for tat. You know, not saying this will play out, but It's a pretty strong argument for Islamic Antichrist. And folks, by the way, let's bring up Joel Richardson for a minute. He's got a new book coming out that is going to be in September. Well, that's not very far away. As soon as I get my hands on a copy, I'll probably have him send me a copy of it digitally and then send me the paper copy. But my point is his book, this new book that comes out, will really make you understand what happens when Yeshua returns. It really will. It's talking about, and it has to do with the real Mount Sinai and everything and where he sets foot at, what he's coming back to do, and what battles that he's actually going to be a war on earth. It's not going to be come out and then just in a second it's all going to be over with. No. Yeshua will march up through from Sinai. But we'll get Joe on here to talk about it. And most, at some point, I don't know that he'll do it just straight off, but all of Joel's books and everything, well, he needs to sell books. That he's a pastor. That's how he supports himself. Well, and also by love gifts and things, you know what I mean. But every one of Joel's books is digitally online at his website. So any of these books, the Mideast Beast or the Islamic Antichrist, all of his books are online at joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com. In fact, this is where I got this list, which out of his electronic books, you know, that are online. Of course, I have physical copies of them, I like a physical copy book. I can only read so much on the computer. How about you?
I don't read anything but the Bible and the computer, but yeah. Book-wise, Bible's it for me.
Book-wise, Bible's it for you. Okay.
Well, maybe, okay, a Strong's Concordance or just, it's a type of Bible. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a type of Bible.
I like a physical Strong's Concordance. It irritates me, the ones that are on Facebook, online, you know what I mean, because a lot of those have been altered.
You can tell the difference.
All right, you better tell them where we're going and what they can do and all that. It's almost break time.
Okay, it's almost break. Okay, you can find all the mission updates and radio, all the programs about what goes on the radio. You can find all of our contact information, how to donate, and everything is over there at our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power, see you through your troubled eyes. Life is rough, surely you will find your way. He's always on call, he wants to save the lost. His charge is always free, with a shout of victory. What more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes to meet your morning, night on you, all you watch. blessed hour to come. He's always on call. He wants to save the lost. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory. One more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer is always yes. To meet your needs.
In 66 A.D., the Roman general Cestius Gallus besieged Jerusalem. Historians say that Gallus would have taken the city had he continued in battle just one more hour. But for some unexplained reason, he retreated. Christians living in Jerusalem remember that Jesus had said that when they saw Jerusalem encompassed with armies, to flee to the mountains. They fled across the Jordan River to Pella, and were not in Jerusalem when the city was finally taken by Titus in AD 70. Over 1 million of the inhabitants of Jerusalem died, and up to 100,000 were taken captive. Christianity, on the other hand, survived in Pella and the other parts of the world where it had spread. In 120 AD, the Roman Emperor Hadrian built the pagan city of Aelia Capitolina on the ruins of Jerusalem. Up until that time, Christians living in Judea kept the commandments of God while worshiping Christ. After this time, however, anyone holding beliefs that could be associated with the God of Judaism were denied entry into the city. These Christians were truly the remnant of the very first group of believers. However, at this point in history, they were now considered narrow-minded and unenlightened because they refused to relinquish the faith set by Jesus, taught by his disciples, and practiced by the believers of the first century. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, today we're talking about the Antichrist and some points on how what the Bible says about the Antichrist, and then about what Islam says about their Mahdi, which is the equivalent of, you know, their savior. That's who comes back to save them. Anyway, we'll just dive right back into it and get started.
Okay, the Bible says Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, will return to defend the Jews in Israel from a military attack from a vast coalition of nations led by the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Islam says the Dajjal, the Islamic Antichrist, will gain a great Jewish following and claim to be Jesus Christ and fight against the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus. So they're saying the same thing, but they're just calling the Yeshua, the biblical Yeshua, as the Antichrist, is what they mean there. And they call him the Dajjal, but that's the Islamic Antichrist, according to Islam. Because, see, they have, even while they have a Savior that comes back, you know, they also have a version of an Antichrist. Their version of the Antichrist is doing what Yeshua, the Bible says Yeshua will really do. So it's just like, just rename, switch the positions, basically. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the Antichrist spirit specifically denies the most unique and central doctrines of Christianity, namely the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the substitutionary death of Yeshua on the cross.
Islam says spiritually specifically denies the most unique and central doctrines of Christianity, namely the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. So what Christianity accepts, Islam opposite, doesn't accept.
Okay, the primary warning of Yeshua and the Apostle Paul was to warn Christians of the abundance of deceit and deception in the last days.
Islam is the only religion in the earth that practices deceit as one of its tools to assist in its own ascendancy. It actually has specific doctrine which allows them and even calls for deception to be used to achieve its desired end. They do have it in their word. I can't remember the name for it, but they are allowed to lie in order to further Islam. And that's just crazy. Okay.
I know a religious group that used to do that, but I won't say nothing.
I don't want to know. I don't want to
know
who
it is. I don't need to say that.
Yeah, but I
okay. The Bible says the specific nations pictured in the Bible as being part of the final empire of the Antichrist are all Islamic nations.
Now, that's what I pointed out earlier. The Bible actually points out the nations that are the empire of the Antichrist, and it's the same nations that the old caliphate was, you know, the Ottoman Empire. And so what's the comeback from the Muslim? It says all Muslims are commanded to give their allegiance to the Mahdi as the final caliph, you know, and Imam, the leader of Islam. So same thing. Okay.
Okay, the Bible. From the Bible and history, we learn that the final Antichrist Empire will be a revived version of the empire that succeeds the Roman Empire.
That succeeds means that came after the Roman Empire. The empire that succeeded the Roman Byzantine Empire was the Islamic Ottoman Empire. And while people say, well, it's a Roman thing, it's not a Roman thing. Romans never conquered all the territory that the Word of God says that would be conquered by that kingdom, but the Ottoman Empire did. And so the Ottoman Empire is coming back.
Okay, the Bible says when the Antichrist emerges, there will already be some form of system in place that will be opposed and receive him as a savior and to give him alliance and give alliance to him.
Allegiance. Yeah, a system will be in place. Well, of course there is. Okay, Islam is already the second largest religion that will at present growth rates become the largest religion within a few decades. Islam is awaiting the coming of the Mahdi with a universal anticipation. Now, backing up, this book's over 10 years old or 15 to 10 years old. It's over 10 years old, the Islamic Antichrist that this came out of. So, you know, and now an update from Joel Richardson, you know, this all looks within the graph. While nations are aligning themselves in the Middle East, and really keep your eyes on Turkey, these nations that are aligning themselves are setting them up for, you know, for the Antichrist and for this to come true. Now let's look at this. We're going to go on further, and we're going to talk about, you want to know, most people will at this point will want to know more about the primary person, Mahdi. What is Islam saying about it? What do they think about it? Okay, let's go through here. You start with two. I'll stop you when I need to.
He will be a descendant of Muhammad and will bear Muhammad's name, Muhammad bin Abdullah.
Hey, you pronounced that right. Yeah, Abdullah. Say, hey, Abdullah. You know, I'm not trying to pick on Muslim people. I'm praying for their soul. But anyway, go ahead. Next one.
He will be a very devout Muslim. He will be an unparalleled spiritual, political, and military world leader. He will emerge after a period of great turmoil and suffering upon the earth.
Stop. Okay, now they believe that the Mahdi can't come back unless it's in the middle of a war. So they are... That's what the ISIS was trying to do, was to really bring back the Mahdi because they really didn't think that they could win and conquer the world, you know, nor even all the territory that they conquered, which they really did. But the point is they believe that during the midst of a war like that, you know, a war, that their Mahdi will come back and save them. But and that's just like the Bible. The Bible says that that Yeshua HaMashiach will come back to save Jerusalem, will come back and save Israel. And at that point, he says all Israel will be saved. Well, of course, we'll all be saved because they will believe in Yeshua. When they see him actually defeat the Antichrist physically, they will accept him as their Messiah. And then Yeshua will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. So, moving right along, we're talking about what else Islam believes about their Mahdi.
He will establish justice and righteousness. I already read that.
Oh, yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
He will establish justice and righteousness throughout the world and eradicate tyranny and oppression.
Tyranny and oppression. So he'll come to make peace on the earth. But their idea, a Muslim's idea of peace isn't, you know, like it says, he will slaughter anybody that doesn't believe in Islam. And there's the point. How can that, that's such a lie. They claim that Muslim, you know, it's a peaceful religion. But if it's a peaceful religion, look what all they do. You know, they kill each other. They beat their women. They kill their women if they think that they've degraded them in any way or degraded the family name. They will slaughter their own children for even talking back. That's just crazy. Go ahead.
He will establish justice in. Oh, I already read that one. Okay, he will be the caliph and imam, vice regent, and leader of Muslims worldwide. He will lead a world revolution and establish a new world order. He will lead military action against all those who oppose him. He will invade many countries.
Stop. They don't even believe that there will be a world conquering thing. And again, folks, if you really read your Bible, well, the whole world's going to be affected by this war in some mannerism. The Bible talks about specifically that the Antichrist being fought against. If you read Daniel, you'll find that there are some countries that oppose him and fight back against him. And so, anyway, so let's just get into Bible reading. Go ahead.
He will make a 7-year peace treaty with a Jew of priestly lineage.
Okay.
Lineage.
Right. Amen. And so, that's their even, while the Jews believe that the temple will be rebuilt, so do they believe the temple will be rebuilt, because that's where he's going to reign from. And there has, and if for it to be a priestly lineage, that means the priesthood has to be back. You know what I'm saying? So they believe that also. Okay.
Okay. He will conquer Israel for Islam and lead the faithful Muslim into a final slaughter battle against the Jews.
Bible says the same thing, but in reverse. Yeah, he will make a final slaughter battle against the Jews. He'll want to wipe out the Jews. That's at the point when Yeshua will come and return and will come and defeat the Antichrist.
He will establish a new Islamic world headquarters from Jerusalem. He will rule for 7 years, possibly as much as 8 or 9. He will cause Islam to be the only religion practiced on the earth. He will appear riding on a white horse, possibly symbolic. He will discover some previously undiscovered biblical manuscripts that he will use to argue with the Jews and cause some Jews to convert to Islam. He will also rediscover the Ark of the Covenant from the Sea of Galilee, which he will bring to Jerusalem.
Stop. Now, I believe that the Ark, I believe Ron White found the Ark of the Covenant, but even though there's a lot of other proof that the Ark of the Covenant, a lot of Jews believe that it's down there somewhere in Jerusalem, either right at or very close to the Temple Mount, to the place what I'll call the place of the cross, Golgotha, believe that it's hidden, all those tunnels. They're always finding new things down there. And by the way, you know they discovered the city of Jericho. Here's something that's really interesting. Archaeologists, the way they uncovered the city of Jericho. You know the story of the city of Jericho, surely, where they walked around the
walls came down.
Well, they walked around.
Imagine if they had walls.
Okay, listen. Okay, funny, but anyway, Israel surrounded the city and marched silently around the walls for 6 days. On the 7th day, they blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls came down. The Bible says the walls came outwardly, which actually made a ramp up so they could get into the city. So the walls fell outwardly, the Jews went inside, and then they burnt the city. Okay, well, when with them digging in Jericho, archaeologists have now discovered that the walls did all fall down at once, because there's no way to explain it, but the walls all fell down at once. They have no explanation. And that afterwards, the city was burnt. And so that backs up to the T, the biblical account of Jericho. All right.
He will have supernatural power from all over the wind and the rain and the crops. He will possess and distribute enormous amounts of wealth. He will be loved by all people of the earth.
Okay, now we're not saying that literally to people. I don't know how you can love somebody that forces you to do things. You know, I mean, that's just insanity.
Well, it is a disease, and people do turn. Yeah, it is a disease that it in this.
Well, right, but we're talking
about with their abusers. Yeah, that's true.
Well, some people. Well, that's part of that's true, but you got to remember these aren't biblical writings.
Oh, well, I know they're not, but I'm just saying. I didn't say it was biblical. I said it was true that it does happen.
Well, it does happen, but we're talking about that would mean that massively amounts of people would love being in slavery. You know, and that's just not true, and it's not what the Bible says. But it is what they say. I understand that's what they say, folks. We're not saying that. We just told you what Islam thought about their leader. Now, I think y'all might just be curious about what they think about Yeshua when he returns, the Muslim Jesus, if you will. Okay.
Jesus is said to return to the earth in the last days near a mosque in Damascus. He will arrive at a time when the Mahdi and his army will be preparing to pray.
Okay, now the Mahdi, reminds you, is the personage of what they think is their savior. So that's the Mahdi is really in Islam playing the role of what we Christians believe is Christ. Okay.
Okay. The Mahdi will all ask Yeshua to lead the. Well, I guess it ain't Yeshua,
call it
so
Jesus.
Jesus.
I don't want
yeah.
It.
The Mahdi will ask Jesus to lead the prayer, but Jesus will decline in the direct deference to the Mahdi, whom Jesus declares to be the leader of the Muslims. He will then pray behind the Mahdi as a subordinate. He will be a faithful Muslim. He will make a pilgrimage to Mecca. He will visit Muhammad's grave and salute Muhammad, whereby Muhammad will return the salute from the grave.
Okay, now let's throw in here too. Now, that Islam does not believe in any way, shape, or form. They say Allah has no son. That Yeshua, they just believe he's a prophet. That he was just a prophet. And that's what they believe. And they do believe he went away, but he'll come back. And this is how he comes back. But go ahead.
He will destroy Christianity. He will repeal the Jizya tax.
Jizya tax.
Thus leaving Jews and Christians with the only options of conversion to Islam or death.
Okay, now here's the thing. So if you want to practice your own religion in a Muslim country, depending on the degree of the severity of the Muslims there, a jizya tax is to allow you to live and practice your own religion. But if they take away the jizya, that tax, then that means that the only alternative is for them to accept Islam or die. Okay.
He will establish Islamic Sharia law throughout the entire earth. He will kill the Antichrist and his followers, made up largely of Jews and women. He will remain on the earth for roughly 40 years, during which time he will marry and have children and then die.
Excuse me, just a second, folks. So that is the Islamic Antichrist, and that's what they believe. Well, that I'm calling it the Islamic Antichrist. Joel Richardson does, and many others who study the Bible. Of course, a lot of people believe a lot of different things, but there's a lot of scripture that if you really read about the Antichrist and you read everything it says in the Old Testament and everything it says in the New Testament, some really clear pictures come out, like one for sure, that this Antichrist would be an Assyrian, that this man will come from the Middle East. It says what nations will fight with him, and it will say that nations will fight against him, and so on and so forth. And so you need to really read your Old Testament. You can't just get stuck in the New Testament. the Old Testament wasn't all and done away with. If it was all and done away with, then we could lie and do anything that we want. Oh, excuse me. Some Christians believe that they can lie and do anything that
they
want.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, and you know what? The Bible says that that Satan, that old devil, he's the father of all lies. And, you know, look at this. You know, that Islam is the only religion that I know of. Joel claims, or he did when he wrote this book, that Islam is the only religion that actually puts lies and says you can lie to people in order to gain ground. Point is that it's not good to lie. You can't break those commandments. You can't cheat on your wife. You can't do all those bad things. You know what I'm saying?
It's covered in the Ten Commandments that says thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying. And the very end of the Bible in their New Testament, in the New Testament, I shouldn't say there, in the New Testament, exactly right at Revelation 21:8, and guess what it says? All liars will be thrown in the pit.
Yeah, they
all
will have their
all
part.
Liars. So therefore, there's no path to lie.
Yeah, they all have their place in the lake of fire. That's
lake,
what it says.
Yep.
Yeah, the lake of fire. And that is the pit, whatever. You know, you call it what you want. It's going to be a place I don't want to go to.
And it's where all liars are going because the Lord don't lie and the Word says it.
Right, right. So you have to follow His commandments to the best of your ability. I get it. People slip up and do things and break the commandment, but that's why Messiah died for us, because we slip up. But
and let's look back up here. What's the thing we learned in 2020, or what was it? We got a little saying that we learned, RRAT. What's that?
Okay, get
recognizing.
Well, we'll just wait till I get to it. So
well, if you
it.
Learned it, you should already know it.
Well, I do, but I'm doing it so
it's realization, repentance, acceptance, and turn away. RRAT.
Okay, well, first you have realization that you're a hopeless sinner. What you go from that. I'm going to explain
right,
it.
Right.
What you go from that is then you repent of that with the next one, which is A, which you accept Yeshua HaMashiach as the person, the vehicle that gets you past all that. But then you have to do the last one, the T, and that's turning away. Repentance, we talked about this on radio before. Do you remember what we said repentance was? Repentance is turning away, but it's changing your mind.
Right.
That means once you thought something was okay and you realize that it's wrong, that meant your mind changed. And so you repented. So if your mind changed, your actions have to follow your mind. And so that means you turn away from those things. Now, I understand old habits are hard to break. Absolutely.
Right.
That's why Yeshua HaMashiach died for us, so that we could, through repentance, through turning away, accept Him and have eternal life. But you have to turn away. You cannot continue on in sin. The word even says, do we do away with the law? Is the law invalid because of grace? No. It says, God forbid.
And even when you do turn away, you still fall into the trap of sin, because sin is very hard to live. I mean, I don't know. The word even says there's no man without sin. If someone says they're not a sinner, they're a liar. And lying is a sin. So it's all sin. So the most important part is to realize that you sin, repent, feel bad for doing it, don't want to do it again, turn away from it, and ask the Lord to forgive you.
Right, absolutely. Also, the word says in John, it says that he who says he loves him and keeps not his commandment, the truth is not him in him, and he is a liar. That's how he knows. He says he will know them by those that keep his commandments. You know, these things are relevant. Okay, folks, we're going to move along. I pray that you share this program with other folks. Please share it around. And I could be wrong. Joel could be wrong. Maybe he isn't a Muslim. But it sure looks like it. That's the way that it's going to play out. It sure looks like what the Word says. But you need to pray about things for yourself. Don't just take my word for it or Joel's word for it or anybody else's. You have to look for your own salvation. In fact, actually, Antichrist is irrelevant. If you have a personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach and you're turning away from sin, that's what counts. He'll tell you the rest.
Yeah, don't worry about who or where the Antichrist is. Worry about what your relationship is with the Father and whether you're going to make it through this. Because let me tell you, if you don't have the Father, you're not making it.
Right, right. And the only way to the Father is through the Son. Okay. Pray for everybody. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about Dana, Pastor Dana saying September's going to be bad. We believe that you should store up at all times. But anyway, we're still over there serving at the Wichita Mission Church. We've been feeding a lot of people, and, you know, what's going
pray
on?
Pray for all the children. That's who you can pray for, the children, because it's really supposed to be school time, and with this coronavirus and all the stuff, and I've seen a really scary scenario played out today on Facebook. Somebody sent me a letter from the school telling a parent that, oh, we had to take your child because we think he has COVID. Well, where's my child? Well, we can't tell you that. And here we go. Well, it's my child. What gives you the right? Well, it's Corona, and it's in the bylaws. And you need to self-quarantine and your whole family for 14 days, and somebody from the Department of Children's Services will be contacting you. What?
Okay, well, we'll see, and I'm going to ask you further about that. We've got to take about 2 minutes and talk about the missing church and the needs for it.
Well, that's very scary, so just pray.
Okay, folks, anyway, so we really need your help to take care of the homeless and poor over there. We do, if you follow me on my Facebook page, you'll find out that, and there is links for it all over the place, we do videos of the people that we're taking care of and things. I don't take a lot of pictures of them. I try not to, but we do show you what we're doing. We're feeding it out there, Karen. The clothing, man, we did a clothing day this last Tuesday, and they were, they were taking away huge amounts of those.
Yeah, I judged how much we gave by how many empty boxes I threw away. I threw about 10, 15 extra boxes away. So, yeah, we if you have any clothing that you want to give out, we're doing another clothing day Friday. So from 3 to 5, if anybody around Wichita needs clothes, stop by 900 South Broadway.
Right, and while a lot of them are picked over, there's still enough that the people were still going through. But if you are around Wichita and you have extra clothing,
drop it
off before 3 o'clock, between 1 and 3 on Friday, or you can do it anytime. But if you want to get in this clothing giveaway, that's when you need to do it. But again, we do need your help to pay for. I haven't paid radio this month yet. Radio and with the internet and everything, we need to raise money for that, but specifically we need to pay AVR. So pray about that, folks. We really do need your support.
It'd be nice to get a couple months ahead on this radio thing so we won't have to hear this all the time, right? Somebody could pay up a couple months and we'd be good to go.
Right. Amen. And also, for the Wichita Mission Church, we do really, really need your help. Pray about supporting what we do. We need your help. Now, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us, people, men, women, and children from all walks of life who've had a bad break. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through in the daylight, let alone after dark. But isn't that where the body of Yeshua is supposed to be, as among the sinners, as Messiah was? People come to us for help. Love is the answer. People are treated as family. That's why they come to us. We have no set guidelines like programs. People just show up, and we try to fulfill their need. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and I mean that entirely. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
The heart.
If you don't wish to help with the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, folks, you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, you can also call me for a prayer, text me first, and just pray about it, get that relationship going with Yeshua. Any final thing, say goodbye or what?
Yeah, I'm going to get Pastor Dan to work on a newsletter here shortly, so we should be getting another one out in the next week or so.
I'm already working on it, and uh-huh. I plan on printing it Monday, so you need to do your page.
See there, good minds think alike.
Yeah, it'll print Monday. Remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. And an hour from now, well, goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.